afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, February 1st, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. Free speech cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN, and send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. And today, I have with me co-host Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, Stephen. And today we have two special guests on with us, both 18-wheeler truck drivers, big rig truck drivers here. We have John Roadworthy and Dan in Washington. John, Dan, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Howdy, y'all.
And thanks for having me on as well.
Yes, yes, gentlemen. Well, I mean, I'd love to hear you folks just chat amongst yourselves to a good extent. I mean, there's a lot of questions you may have to compare notes and, of course, not just about the conditions of the industry lately, but with all of the supply chain shortages, the COVID situation with mandates and shots, of course, there are so many convoy factors related to the shortages. And, and Stephen, yeah, you mentioned the convoy. Yeah, that is interesting. But first, well, maybe we could just have a little description of each of you. Well, Dan, you're in Washington. We know you from RBN. A lot of listeners will know you there. John Roadworthy. John, you are in South Carolina that you're based. And well, what is your age, sir? And how long have you been a truck driver?
I'm 53. I've been in South Carolina since 1990. I grew up in Washington State, in Western Washington, right across the water from Seattle. I've been truck driving since 1991. And I'm working on 3 million miles.
Oh, okay.
I'm an owner. I'm an owner operator. I have my own truck. I actually have two trucks. One truck's been parked since 2012. The current truck I have now I purchased in 2015, and it's been interesting for me. I still love what I do. My son did not know I was his father until last year. We reconnected, and now he's driving a truck. He's 25. His name's also John.
Oh, very nice. Dan. And Dan, again, Dan, you're in Washington. And how old are you, sir, and when did you start as a truck driver?
I'm 49 years old, and I started in 2007. So what's that? 2007, 17. So about 15 years over the road. I did a little bit on and off, before that. But yeah, so it's been a while. The time flies out here, you know. And, I didn't plan on doing it. I went to college and everything. I've done retail management, and sales, and I just started to pay off my college loan, and But I kind of, it kind of fit me, and I like traveling, and it's a pretty easy job if you're doing over the road stuff. I mean, it's just kind of, it's like camping, you know. And I like, seeing the country and stuff like that, and it's nice, you know. And I've never had a problem finding work doing it, and I make pretty good money now, so. Everything's going good. I did not take the vax mandate, the vax. So, is John, are you the one that goes to Canada a lot, or I've heard?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm actually leaving this weekend, and simply because I am vaccinated. We have four passport drivers. I was hesitant. Steve talked about the vaccines. I've heard many, many things about the vaccines, but the run that I take up to Canada is very lucrative. I enjoy going up there. I have friends that are up there. I'm treated very kindly. And so I chose to go that route. And because of that, I'll be headed to Montreal this weekend.
Okay.
Well, John, you said you had a number of questions you're curious to ask Dan. So before anything with these other topics or that Stephen and I may be curious about, I'll allow you to take the floor. And, please go ahead if you wanted to chat Dan up, ask him a few things.
Well, Dan, have you had – good luck with your with work. Have you slowed down because of the supply chain crisis? Have you? That's one question. Another question I wanted to ask you is, being on the West Coast, it's very different over here. I just left Seattle, and I know that there's a lot of retail theft that's going on up there. I wonder if that is affecting you and your. And your company?
Yeah, actually, we've been super busy. I thought that, you know, when the COVID hit, it was kind of like depression level. They were, you know, everyone was not working. And remember when it first hit, I mean, they had unemployment numbers like the Great Depression. And then, but that didn't last long. And then they had to catch up with everything. And, we've been super busy. So I got out with this company. I've only been here, this is my second year, working on the third year. But yeah, I've made better money now, and we just got tons of work, and I've gotten three raises this year. And so, I mean, everything's going good. You know, it was the vax mandate that I was going to quit if I had to do that, so I'm glad the Supreme Court ruled. Now, if I quit, I'm not sure how long that would last, but I would have quit just to prove a point, and then maybe sat around and maybe had to get it and reapply or something. I don't know. But it's pretty intense. So, but no, we've been doing good here. How about yourself? Has your freight been busy or? Down,
yeah,
or?
I haven't. I never slowed down. It was really enjoyable actually during COVID because there just was hardly any traffic. I run through New York, and you could go through New York in no time. You know, we weren't New Jersey. We just haven't slowed down. I've been down for 2 weeks because my truck's been in the shop. A lot of people in my company don't have the vaccine. Like I said, I wanted to keep on going up to Canada. I didn't know that they were going to mandate the vaccine either at the, you know, at the end. I guess now if you take a load to Canada or come from Canada, if you're not vaccinated, you have to quarantine for 14 days. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough choice. I mean, it's like, you know, like my friend got it, and you know, he'd been with the same company over 20 years, and he's just, you know, got seniority, and he talked himself into it. I talked to him one day, he's like, I'm not getting that, and then they had the mandate, and he's like, no, I made the decision on my own, it was good, I decided to take it. But it's like, it's pretty scary, you know, to threaten people with their jobs, but
I'll tell you, I had a bad reaction. Yeah. I had, you know, the first shot that I got was on my birthday, and we were having a birthday party at my sister's. I had to leave and go back to the hotel at 8 o'clock that night, and it knocked, you know, I was out until 1 o'clock the next day. And when I got my booster shot, I was literally in bed by like 6:30 at night. It was that powerful, and I had two of the worst nightmares that I've ever had in my life. So they're actually putting that virus into your body to fight off whatever, you know, to a little piece of it. So that's what worries me.
Yeah, it depends which one you get, I guess. If you get the Moderna and Pfizer, you're getting that RNA experimental stuff, so it's not even like a piece of the virus. It's more like trying to make your cell have a reaction to it, like they gave you a piece of the virus, I guess.
It's telling your cells to create spike proteins, manufacture mm-hmm. them yourself.
Encase the nanolipids so that they'll penetrate the tissues quicker and easier.
Supposedly, the Sputnik in Russia is more of like a traditional vaccine, but that would mean that they would have to have you know, these SARS-CoV-2 variants, not just any old coronavirus.
Johnson and Johnson was supposedly somewhat, but
I've heard some of these other components are in there as well. I've heard claims that is altering DNA as well. I'm not really sure what to believe. I don't know. Well, was it the Johnson and Johnson, Pfizer, or Moderna, John, that you got?
Moderna.
Okay. Well, yeah, then you don't have an actual, this is just telling your body to create spike proteins, that you don't have an actual, like a traditional virus, you don't have a little bit of the actual virus that's weakened. Yeah, it's actually just more, technically they say it's more gene therapy. Isn't that what we hear, Steve?
Right. Steven?
Yeah, it's experimental gene therapy too.
Oh, I know.
Well, and it doesn't work. After all that drama, it's like it doesn't even work, really.
Gentlemen, we want to utilize just the fact that you're both truckers and, you know, curious to hear.
Right.
And for listeners as well. We can stay on that topic. I mean, John, did you have some more specific questions? I know in the other segments, maybe get to some
Let me answer another question. As far as theft, our company has those big, huge locks they put on the back trailers. So we're always supposed to have them locked. And then if we leave our trailer, you know, if we disconnect, like at a truck stop or something, we have a kingpin lock that we, or a pin lock, you know, on the trailer. But I haven't noticed any more theft or anything. You know, I drive all over the country. I go over there as well, and I go through, you know, all these cities, Houston and Pittsburgh and Georgia and I can't tell it's any worse here than anywhere else, honestly.
The homelessness part is I don't see nearly as many tents as I do when I come over on the West Coast.
Portland, as soon as that BLM Antifa stuff started, like 3 years ago, you could drive to that city to see a few homeless people, just normal stuff. But I went through last year, like literally every bridge was covered in graffiti, every little wall on the side of the freeway covered in, you know, spray painted graffiti, homeless, tents. And even like I just drove through Spokane, Washington, you know, kind of out over by Idaho, and you had the park downtown probably had like 50 or 60 tents in it. So yeah, that's in the Seattle area is like that too now.
You know that every year I've come up there, my trailer's gotten graffitied and broke, and this year, fortunately, I was empty, but I didn't have a lock on the back, of course. I didn't need a lock. There was nothing in there. But the hotel called me. I was at my mom's, and she said, "Miss, we just wanted to know, let you know that someone's opened up your trailer doors, and they're wide open." So I had to come back and shut them. The graffiti is an issue when I come up there. Just no respect, you know, that's what, they just don't have any respect.
Well, and I it depends what part of the country, you know. If you're like in, like, I'll drive through Chicago, like the south part, like Gary, Indiana, and it's like around there, I'm just afraid of being straight up murdered. Like, you know, but if you park your trailer in Seattle, it might get graffitied and stuff. You know, I lived in Austin, Texas for a little while, and I saw more homeless people. That was when I first started seeing homeless people in, like, 2004, just, like, standing on the road with a sign, you know, like a young person that looks like they could work, but they look all sad. Or maybe they got PTSD or something, but,
them. Like they got hotel rooms. No, they stay. Yeah, they usually have hotel rooms. They're doing a lot of that money up in drugs.
Yeah, California is bad, of course. But, you know, I think it's kind of, I don't know. Maybe they just don't let them put tents up and other. But, yeah, I noticed, like, in a state like Kentucky or something, that you don't see quite as many homeless people, or maybe, like, where you're at, north or south.
No.
Almost like a trend. It's like a trend. It's, like, it's socially acceptable to stand there with a sign and put a tent up now, you know, whereas before it wasn't.
I still see panhandling across the country. I think we have different, you know, up in Washington State. I was in the foster care system when I was a teenager, but here's just this is kind of off the topic. But the foster care system is prevalent up there. You see ads in the newspaper and every week. Wanted foster parents, big money, dollar signs. We down here, the churches and families and stuff like that take care of people. So it's just a different culture, I guess.
Did you escape? Did you leave here to escape down to the south or something? That's kind of why I moved to Texas. But
I left Seattle in 86 to go up to Alaska on the crab boats and fished up there for a year.
Here, gentlemen.
Came back.
Here, gentlemen, sorry to interrupt, but we have the first break coming up right now. And so we'll stick around, folks, and we will be right back after these messages.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with co-host Stephen Douglas Whitener and guests John Roadworthy and Dan in Washington, both 18-wheeler big rig truck drivers. And before we swap the questioning, you were finishing your trek. I mean, you relocated first to Alaska, you were saying, John.
Yes, I went up there. Actually, I started on a processing boat. I was in juvenile detention center in 86, beginning of 86, and my foster brother had a connection up there in Alaska with All Alaskan Seafoods, and he came down and told the people in juvie, my probation officer, that, hey, if you'll let him out today to go take the drug test and fill out the application, I guarantee you he'll have a job in Alaska. And they actually let me out that day to go over to Seattle with them. I was hired, came back to juvie, finished my one-week sentence, I think. Left there. I stayed 6 months up there, ended up getting a job offer on one of the actual crab boats. I think it was the MV Juno. Came back because you sign a contract for 4 months. Came back after my 4 months on the processor, but I missed a phone call. We didn't have cell phones back then. But I went camping, and the skipper of the boat left a day early, and I wasn't back at the boat. And so they had to hire another green hand take my place. And so instead of waiting for 4 months, I was out of money. Instead of waiting for more time, I found this ad in this newspaper. I was literally homeless on the streets. I was wearing size shoes, a half a size too small for me. Didn't have a penny to my name, and I saw this ad in the paper said, take this job and love it. And I walked up to a hotel. I walked to like 3 miles, and the lady hired me, and it was a sales crew. And so I traveled across the country selling this all-purpose cleaning solution door to door. I became very good at it. I met my daughter's mother in Greenville, South Carolina in 1987, and she traveled with us. And then in 89, my daughter was born, and I made a decision on January 1st of 1990 to walk away from that sales thing and try to get a job and be a part of my daughter's life. Well, 6 months later, her mom and I were split up, and I was back to square one. Do I go back to Seattle, not be a part of my daughter's life, or do I stay here? I loved the weather, and I loved the people, the Southern hospitality. So I chose to stay. In 1991, I saw an ad on TV that had a truck driver blowing out dollar signs out of his stacks and, you know, oh, big money, this kind of thing. Well, it wasn't big money at first. I said, oh, I can do that. You know, I've traveled before, and I went to this kind of fly-by-night truck driving school, and the rest is history. Never have looked back. I got into some big trouble in 1992 and 93, but I got out of that, and I eventually straightened my life out in 1999. So bought my first truck in 2000.
Similar background. I got two friends that went up to Alaska, and they got into a lot of trouble too, and they didn't make it through their contracts, though. One of them stabbed himself in the leg with one of those fillet knives, I guess, up there, and they just got into trouble the whole time, so they sent them back early. But they said it was pretty horrible, hard up there. They put ammonia down like every night, and the smell of fish and guts, and he said he never ate fish and you know, those bandy cap fish sticks and stuff like that. He said, don't ever eat that stuff because what he saw, you know.
Well, he was on a processor, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was going to ask you a question about the price of trucks because I almost looked into owner-operator with our company. But he said that they're not even doing it anymore because of COVID. They're not, you know, there's chip shortages just like cars. So have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
The price? Okay.
Absolutely. So the price of trucks right now, used trucks, is just absolutely astronomical.
Well, here, maybe elaborate on that after the break. We have a short break, gentlemen. So yeah, bear with me, stick around. And listeners, we will be right back.
When I walk into the promised land, we've been too long American dreaming. I think we've all lost the way. Fair long sound and nihilistic, maniacal in the dark.
I want the truth! The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And we are back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with co-host Stephen Douglas Whitener. And we have guests John Roadworthy and Dan in Washington. And Dan, if you could just reiterate your question for John, please.
Yeah, just wondering, I work for a company, and you know, you're an owner-operator, so I don't buy my own trucks or worry about that, but I did think about doing that, and my company said they're not selling them anymore because the price has gone up so high that they don't want to lock our people in with, you know, real high prices. And so just wondering, have you noticed high prices in the, because I know chip shortages and all this stuff going on. So sound like you've noticed 100%. The price has gone up.
100%. The used trucks are three times right now what their value is. I'm not quite sure why the used trucks are so high, but people are paying three times the price. I did a lease purchase through my company. It was one of the worst business mistakes I've ever made in my life. It was a $25,000 truck that I ended up, after all the payments, the weekly payments, paying $80,000 for. I would highly, I'll never let my son do it. I wouldn't let my best friend do it. I would tell you not to do it. But some people are so dead set on being an owner operator that they want to do it. I have another truck that I paid cash for. I paid $32,000 for a 1998 Century Class, And
yeah, and our company doesn't do the and I know I've looked into it, and I agree totally. Those lease deals are usually a major ripoff, and I know some companies have gotten sued because they'll get you in a lease and then cut your miles and basically drive you out of business and take the truck back. But our company just sells them flat out. You know, the only way really is just to buy it like you're buying a car or whatever.
So now the mechanics are taking advantage of us. So the mechanics aren't getting the kind of business that they once were. You used to have to wait, you know, a week before they could get to your truck. Well, now they tell you that it's going to be a week, and they run the price up. I just spent a whole bunch of money, a ton of money, on a drive line. I've been down for 2 weeks, Dan.
Wow.
The mechanics are taking advantage of us now because they can. They're actually not mechanics. They're called technicians. They hook up the computer to it, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You got a bunch of codes.
And half the time they can't tell why the light's on. And I was talking to my friend about that, about robot trucks, you know, and I'm like, they can't even tell you why the check engine light comes on half the time. What are they going to do with the robot truck? You know?
Yeah.
They'd have to send somebody out, and I don't know.
But, I think it's designed. I think it is designed this way because they want to put these automated, you know, no-driver trucks on the road. And you and I, Dan, both know that that's not going to work too well.
Mm-mm. I don't see it happening, honestly. They might try. Maybe like a
run. They already have
some. Really? Well, I could see, from Los Angeles to Dallas on the flat road, maybe. But I don't know. Someone brought up, you know, the Google cars have already killed a couple of people. So if
the Teslas,
you see the company that made the truck, could be pretty difficult. I guess
in my opinion, there's no business having an 80,000-pound missile that is barreling down the road, and anything could happen. A steer tire blows, you know, whatever. There's so many circumstances behind a truck that, of course, they wouldn't use rubber tires. They would use something where they didn't flat. They don't care about how the driver feels because there's not a driver in the truck. I just think it's a bad idea. There's too many variables can happen out there.
Well, what if you're on a mountaintop and you're hauling fuel or something,
exactly.
Just think how often your computer crashes, you know, and it's going to be up there in the snow and stuff. The local stuff, there's just no way, like even like a UPS driver, like a computer, how would you even work that? You'd have to have the truck just sit there and throw packages out. I don't know. We'll see. I don't see it happening for a while. I mean, it seems like they're putting money into it, though. I heard a lot of Obama put $1 billion into doing this and the 5G and stuff like that. But I think a lot of this is being engineered. Like, you know, for a while we heard there was all these ships outside Los Angeles, you know, with these shortages. And it's just like, why don't they unload them? And then they'll blame it on there's not enough trucks, you know. And it's just like, that's not the problem. A lot of the ports use owner-operators, so a lot of those guys are like Somalian immigrants or a lot of Russian people doing that. And, you know, so they're just kind of like smaller, like kind of they'll buy an old used truck and just haul those containers out of the port. Because a lot of Americans don't want to deal with it because those guys are rude. The train operators are rude.
Even if everyone's nice to you, you could be waiting 8 hours to get your load.
Yeah, you're waiting in line. There was a big protest in Los Angeles a few years ago because they'd get a container, but it would be overweight, you know, and the driver would be stuck with this overweight container for forever and not getting paid. So there's a lot of stuff like that. I thought of doing that. I don't know, John, have you ever hauled stuff, containers out of a port? Our company doesn't do that now, but...
No, I never have, and I never will.
Right. No, that's not a... You don't think it's...
it's not a driver short. Like when they have all these ships outside in L.A. and they say, oh, it's a driver shortage. I think it's, like you're saying, I just think it's engineered. They're just not unloading.
It is.
Either, you know.
They're going to claim that there's a massive driver shortage in the country, and they're going to flood it with the immigrants. And Dan knows just exactly well. He just brought up two groups of people, Somalians and Russians. Every city that you're in, Seattle, Chicago, L.A., New York, you get into the city, and those are the truck drivers there. You don't see the white guys. And the West Coast is a little bit different, I think. You know, I could be wrong. I'm not very familiar with the West Coast. But I know Chicago is just, it's ruled by the Russians and the Croatians up there. They,
right. And the Indians, I forgot the Sikhs. The Sikhs, too.
That's up in Washington. There,
Yeah,
the Sikhs. So they've never seen the kind of money that, you know, growing up, they come over here, they were cutthroat. They can drop the rates. It's been very hurtful. Fortunately, I've got a good company. It sounds like Dan's with a good company that's on top of this kind of stuff. But I think that it's designed to bring in a flood of immigrants soon. To say, hey, we've got to have drivers in these trucks, you know. And that just gives them an excuse to bring the cheap labor over here.
I agree. I think in England, wasn't it who's the prime minister? I forgot. The UK, but he was saying, you know, the answer is to let in 100,000 truck drivers or something, because they had the same issues there. And, you know, so they're definitely taking advantage of things for sure.
They are.
Stephen, did you have any thoughts on, I don't know, questions or comparisons between these gentlemen? Their info?
Stephen, I don't know if he can hear us.
Okay.
But I do know Stephen's able to. I'll reach in there and sit down and let him know that he's online.
Sorry, I was... Boomer moment. Yeah, I'm here.
Just falling asleep, man.
Steve can explain a lot of stuff because he sees me on this stuff. He sees what I go through, and I'll come back and I'll
tell
complain.
Them about crossing the border. The way you were treated at the border there, that just with the fancy X-ray and everything, that was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. The border, they'll give us a hard time now. They'll put the dogs in. It'll be interesting. I haven't been up to I haven't crossed the border since, back before Thanksgiving, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
I only went a couple times last year. So, I know I came back in, and, man, they made a big deal. They wanted to use their brand-new $3 million truck. It's this mobile X-ray. And there's hardly anybody that goes through there. They made me stand out there in 20 degrees, and my dog stand across the street. And I went out. I will start to take a video. And that guy, he said, "We can arrest you for taking video. You're not allowed to take video." And I mean, I was on regular across the street property, but I was not allowed to take any kind of video of their equipment. You're not allowed to do it up there at the border. If they see you taking pictures, they frown upon it. It'll be interesting when I go across this weekend.
I had one of those guys almost pull a gun on me, because I used to go to Canada too, and I drove through the X-ray thing, but I stopped. It was at night. I couldn't see his hand signal, so I stopped. But the back of the trailer was still kind of in the machine, I'm like, what, you know? And this other guy comes up and is just going, "Get out of the truck! Get out of the truck! Get out of the truck!" Take my seatbelt off, and I start to get out, and he like backed up and like put his hand on his pistol, and I just said, "Screw you, man!
Gun-ho.
I'm more American than you are." And he's like, "Oh, sorry." You know,
How long ago did that happen?
About 2015. That's when I was going up. I used to go up to Calgary a lot, and after that, you know, and
I had them yell at me because they'd ask, do you have any fruit in the truck? And one time I said no. And then when they searched my truck, and he's like found canned green beans and stuff. And
I thought, are you lying to us? You know, you're lying.
It's just that kind of thing. It's exactly stuff like that. They are very, very authoritative, and they want to let you know that they are.
Yeah, I started being a smart aleck to them sometimes. I'd just be like, look, you know, obviously you guys don't stop illegal immigration. Why are you even here, you know?
Exactly.
So, and I'm like, you know, I mean, we know, if there's a terrorist act, it's probably the CIA doing it, you know? You know, so it's like, what are you guys even here for, you know? So.
Yeah, the amount of money that's wasted up there. I go through Vermont and the back roads up there. You just see Border Patrol cars going up and down the road, up and down the road. But you're seeing people, they just let them walk past and go across the other side. They put their hands up and they say, I'm claiming asylum. It's ridiculous. And then, you know, I guess coming in down from Mexico, floods of them come over here and they put them on airplanes. That's the latest. They're flying them all over the country on taxpayer money.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, the way they treat us. For me, it was the American ones when you come back in that were the worst. It wasn't even the Canadian ones. It was the...
You're right.
When you come back over, right. You know.
Yeah. Yep. I miss Canada, though.
You got the Tim Hortons for dinner up there. Everyone's into the Tim Hortons. And
Every other block has a Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. They've got their own little stuff, but you got to admit, Dan, they're good little boys and girls. They obey. They all have this mindset, you know, that the government's right and the government, until you go over to the Edmonton, Calgary area, that's the concern.
They have a different frame of mind. What do you think about this protest, though? Shouldn't you protest too? Or one thing I noticed up there, the truckers have more, they have more solidarity. I think they have more, owner operators there that are still Canadian, and the owner operators will work together. They're kind of like a union. Dan.
Well, you know what's interesting, Dan? It's 45 miles long, apparently, is what the convoy, something to that effect. 45,000 to 50,000 trucks. They all get to Ottawa, Canada, and the prime minister leaves that morning to avoid them. So now they're headed down to Washington, D.C., and apparently there's a whole lot of United States truckers that are going to be joining this convoy. So there could be solidarity. Yeah. Yep. I read that today. They're coming down to Ottawa. It's called the Ottawa to D.C. You can look it up, and that was something I read this afternoon. So I could be passing them.
How are they going to get over the border, though, I guess? I don't know how that works.
So that's a good question. I think what they're going to do is hand off the convoy to the American truckers at the border.
From what
I understand, there's a whole bunch of solidarity on American truckers that are going to go to D.C. But you know as well as I do, like you just said, they do stand together better than the United States truckers do. We can't get a group together for anything.
No, I don't. Yeah, that's. I'd be surprised if there even was. Hopefully, there is. You know,
They end up punishing us.
You don't want to lose your truck,
lose your truck, all that kind of stuff. Up in Canada, they probably have laws. You can't do that. So they knew that they would get to Ottawa. Prime Minister, he just takes off. It was a slap in the face to the truckers, though.
Well, here, gentlemen, we have
a market.
The final commercial break. So stick around, and we'll be right back for the final segment.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We are back, folks, for the final segment, Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Dan, here, just pick up where you were, sir.
I'm a company driver, but honestly, I think you're right. I mean, probably the most I could do is either quit or just call in sick. If they had a week, you know, maybe in solidarity for these other truckers, I would do something like that, like call in sick for a week or week or two, maybe even. I mean, if it gets really bad with these mandates and violating our rights with the COVID passports and stuff, you know, so we got to fight now or forever hold your peace, you know. So I'm glad these truckers are doing it.
I'll elaborate on that. In 2004, that's exactly what drivers did. They called in sick. It finally happened. It was a trucker's strike. And the end result was all of the union companies, Consolidated Freightways, I think, yellow folded or transitioned into roadway. UPS drivers got a huge wage. Your common carriers got a huge raise. But it did. People called in sick. They refused to drive. People had had enough in 2004. You know, it started in 93 when they mandated that everybody get the CDL. I started and I didn't have to have a CDL. It was just a Class A driver's license. It made a difference. And I kind of feel that we can do it. I think that social media has brought people closer to now than ever before. I think it could be done.
I agree.
It's going to take some, you know, some leaders that can put it together. Right now, I think the wages are pretty good, but yeah, they could be better.
Yep, we'll see. I mean, this COVID tier, this COVID passport, you know, like they were talking at first of, you know, borders in between states, and this is getting pretty freaky. So see how it goes.
The mandate did get dropped though for the truckers. Yeah. I we fought that. You know, the OOIDA and the American Truckers Association, those guys fought it. So we're trying to fight. I'm a member of OOIDA, and company drivers can also join OOIDA. It'll cost $45 a year. You just go to OOIDA.com, which stands for Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. You pay the $45 a year, and if you ever have a legal issue or any kind of problems, they'll represent you. But they also fight in Washington, D.C. for the truckers, independent truckers and company.
Well, it's great. We're going to have to do this again, gentlemen, to have both of you back comparing notes. It was very interesting. I'm sure the listeners would agree. Thanks for being here, John Roadworthy and Dan in Washington.
Stay in touch, Dan.
Right,
be safe
you.
Out there.
Thanks. Yeah, you too. Drive safe. Thanks.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Stephen, as well. And to the listeners, please support RBN, folks, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.